Chapter 43, Pasuk 24.
242.
Still in Bereishis, right?
Pasuk Chav Dalet.
We don't move that fast.
What's that?
We don't move that fast.
Story up to...
Where are we? 242.
242. Page 242. Order in the court. Story up to now.
Have a seat.
Story up to now. By the way, before we begin, next Monday night there's no class.
Why?
Last Monday I came and there was no class.
I know, but I was sick in bed with the flu. I didn't have your number to call you. No, I apologize. I didn't have your number to call you. No, there's a shluchim convention.
What?
You'll get older, you understand.
What's more important, the convention or this class? You're learning Torah.
I have to think about it.
You stay up there in your lecture, Madaf learning Torah.
Okay. Anyway, the story up to now, the brothers finally come back with Binyamin, that after Yaakov finally agreed that the brothers can bring Binyamin back, they brought the double money, they brought gifts, they come in front of Yosef. Yosef tells his son Menashe, the one in charge of the house, take him to my house, they're going to eat bread with me, meaning they're going to eat the meal with me. So when the brothers were brought to Yosef's house, the brothers started talking to the guy. Like they didn't even let him take him into the house, and they start saying, "Listen, I want you to know that there was a mistake here, and the money got back somehow in our bags, and then we apologized and we brought back the money." And he says to them, "Don't worry, everything's fine." Okay, so now it says in Pasuk Chav Dalet, after the brothers were calmed down by this man in charge, Vayaveh Ha'isha Sa'anoshim Beis Yosef, the man, which like we said before was Menashe. Brought him into Yosef's house, meaning they followed him into the house. Vayitim mayim, he gave them water, vayichsu raglam, to wash their feet. As the custom was, we see in Chumash many times, when people came from a journey, they didn't have shoes and their feet were dirty, so they would wash their feet. Vayitim mispelech amereyim, and he gave food for the donkeys. Okay, basically means that he invited him in, he made him feel very much at home. So, Vayechinos HaMincha, they prepared the gift, because besides the money they brought back, we learned before in the Chumash that they actually brought gifts, like Yaakovina told them almonds and spices and, you know, expensive types of food. So they prepared it. So Rashi says, what do you mean they prepared it? They arranged it and adorned it in fine vessels. You know, it should look nice when they give the present. And Abayesa Batsarayim, they prepared the gift for when Yosef would come in the afternoon or noontime. Kishamu, because they heard Kisham Yechlu Lochem, that's where they're going to eat bread. Now bread is a synonym for the meal. Like we find many times in Chumash, when the Torah speaks about a meal, the Torah speaks about bread, because bread is the main staple of the meal. That's why when you make a motzi, you don't have to make any other bracha, because a motzi covers everything. So they heard that they're going to eat food together with Yosef in the afternoon. Vayava Yosef Abaisa, so Yosef came home. Vayavila Samincha Shebiyadim Abaisa, they brought him the gift. It said, like it says, they didn't want to bring the gift outside. Why? Because then people would think they want to bribe him. And they don't want to bribe, they didn't want to show in any way that they're going to bribe him, that they should suspect him of being guilty, that they have to bribe. So they waited for Yosef to come inside. They bowed to the ground. Now, this is the first time, as the Ramban and other commentaries mention, this is the first time that all the brothers bowed to Yosef. All the brothers were there.
Yeah.
Shimon was also brought out already. Like it says, as soon as they came, he gave him Shimon. So this is the first part of the dream that Yosef saw, that all the brothers bowed to him. So now he understood the dream has been fulfilled. The only ones that didn't come yet was the sun and the moon. But the first dream, that their bundles of wheat are bowing to him, that was already done. But there was a second dream that included the father and the mother, that didn't happen yet. But Yishalohem l'shalom, this is an interesting pasuk that if you take it literally, it's very difficult to understand. But Yishalohem l'shalom, so Yosef inquired about their peace, meaning he said, how are you doing? And Vayayim HaShalom Avichim HaZakin Asher Amartem, is there peace to your old father that you said, Ha'odenu Chai, is he still alive? So it's a very interesting question. It's a three-part question. Yosef says to the brothers, number one, how are you doing? Then he says, how is your father doing? And then he says, is he still alive? So the obvious question is, first you should ask him if he's alive, and then how is he doing? I mean, you ask somebody, how is he doing? Is he alive? You don't do that. You ask, is he alive? How is he doing? So the Mefarshim learn a number of, and let's see the next passage, because we have to understand, compare both psukim. Vayemru, and they said, Sholem la'avducho la'avino edeno chai. Our father, your servant, is still alive. Okay? So now, they didn't answer the question.
They answered back the same.
1 second. They answered back the same order, but the whole question over here is what's going on. So the Mefarshim discuss a number of interesting things. First of all, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that when you greet people, the first thing is you ask them about themselves before you ask about their relatives. So the first thing Yosef said, how are you guys doing? Fine. Now, HaShalom Avichem HaZokein, the Mefarshim say, he asks over here two questions. Is your father Avichem HaZokein, is your grandfather? Yosef asked the brothers, is your grandfather Yitzchok still alive?
No.
Avichem HaZokein refers to the old father, meaning your grandfather. Ha'odenu Chai, is he still alive? So the brothers answered him, Shalom la'avdecho la'avino edenu Chai. Our father is alive. And the Gemara learns an interesting story in Pesachim. The Gemara brings down, here, he says as follows. According to the Medrash, Yosef asked about two people. Is your father well, referring to Yaakov? And then he said, is the old man that you're speaking about, meaning Yitzchak, is he alive? So what did they say? They answered, our father is alive, which hinted that Yitzchak died. Now, Yitzchak died 10 years ago. I mean, not 10 years ago from today. 10 years ago, 10 years before the brothers met him, he died. So the brother, and this, by the way, we're going to soon see the sequence of the psukim, that Yosef went out to cry because he heard his grandfather died, and he never knew that before. This is the first time the brothers are hinting. In fact, the Gemara tells a story. I wonder if he brings it down here. No. There's a story in the Gemara. Somebody came back from... It was a story of Rav and Avchia. There was an uncle and a nephew. So when he came back and says, how's your father? He said, my mother's fine. How's your mother? My father's fine. So he understood that both parents died. But he didn't want to say... He didn't want to be the bearer of bad news. So he answered... by asking, how's your father? My mother's okay. So they understood that the father died. Then when he said, how's your mother doing? The father's okay. He understood that the mother died. And the same thing happened here with the brothers. Yosef asks the brothers, how is Yitzchak? Avichem HaZokein. Simply means Yaakov, but he also included Yitzchak. And the brothers answered, Yaakov's alive. But the obvious question is, if the pasuk simply means that it's referring to Yaakov, how does he first say, HaShalem HaYidenu Chai? I mean, if first you have to ask if he's alive, then you could see if HaShalem. So the Mefarshim learn as his fathers. Simply the Mefarshim say as follows. That Yosef asked, how's he doing? Then he caught himself and he said, 1 minute, I have to first figure out if he's still alive. Okay, why? For a number of reasons. When the brothers came back with Binyamin, Yosef didn't think Yaakov's going to let Binyamin go.
Oh.
So now that the brothers came with Binyamin, Yosef thinks 1 minute, maybe the old man died, and that's why you guys just took Binyamin down. So that's why he asks, is he still alive?
Why did he ask for
Binyamin
if he knew they were going to...
Huh? He didn't know, it may be in the interim, because he didn't come down for a while.
Why didn't he ask for him if he knew that he wasn't going to let him go?
He wanted to see the pressure of getting him, Yaakov, to let him go. Because the dreams had to become fulfilled. And everybody had to come down to Mitzrayim. And Yosef understood that in this scheme of things, all the brothers had to come down to Mitzrayim to empty out Mitzrayim to prepare themselves for Matan Torah. So it had to be in that way. But another question is as follows. They didn't mean, is he still alive physically? Is he still vigorous? Does he have vitality? Is he still, you know...
Lebedik,
yeah. The question was, not only is he alive, Shalim is, how is he doing? Then they say, Danuchai, is he still living? You know, is he still... Why? Because Yosef is asking, he understood the concept we learned before. And a dead person, there's a decree to forget about them. And a living person, there was never a decree that God decreed he should forget about them. So Yosef understood, and as we will see later in Vayigash, Yosef understood that Yaakov is suffering for 22 years. He's suffering already 22 years. So his question is he a vegetable? Is he a basket case? Or is he a danochai? Is he alive? You know, is he lebedik, like you said? So the brothers answered him two things. Shalim la'abdechavinu. Number one, he's not only externally, but a danochai is still alive. Now, vayikdu vayishtachavu. They bowed, meaning, why did they bow? So Rashi says that they thanked Hashem that he was concerned about their welfare. That the brothers thought he's going to kill them because they stole the money. So they thought. Secondly, at the mention of their father, the Radak says, why did the brothers bow? When they said their father, out of respect to their father, they bowed. According to the Aushich, it was thanks to Hashem, they were thanked Hashem, that Yosef accepted them warmly. Now, because of this, they said, Avdecha Avinu. Says, Yosef was punished for this expression. Avdecha Avinu, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that Yosef died at 110 years old. He was supposed to live to 120. Why did he die 10 years earlier? So one opinion the Gemara says, because he was in a leadership position, it can kill you. He died 10 years earlier. Another reason is, because if the Gemara says 10 times, the brothers said to him, your servant, our father. That means Yosef heard the way his father, Yaakov, is being called your servant. And he didn't protest. He didn't stop it. So because of that, the Gemara says it happened 10 times. And therefore he was punished that he lost a year of his life for each time. So the obvious question is, if you look in Chumash, it only says it 5 times, not 10 times. So the answer is very simple. They spoke through an interpreter. But Yosef understood Hebrew. So when the brothers said it, they said it once, then the interpreter translated it into Egyptian, so he heard it a second time. So every time that the brothers said, Avdecha Avinu, Yosef heard it twice. So because he didn't protest, the fact that they called Yaakov your servant showed that he was punished. Another thing it says over here, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, they bring down, says, Yaakov was punished here for another. Why was Yaakov called Avdecha? Okay, that's what Yosef was punished. But why did Yaakov be called Lepoel in Torah? He was called to Yosef, your servant, 5 times.
Why is Esav so?
So the answer is, because when Yaakov met Esav, and he sent all the gifts, Yaakov Avinu 5 times in Chumash said to Esav, your servant Yaakov. And he had no right, because already in the bracha God said, the older one, Esav, is going to serve the younger one. That means Esav is going to be the servant of Yaakov. The fact that Yaakov himself called himself Esav's servant, so he was punished that he was called 5 times, your servant. No, it's called five in Chumash. Yaitzev was punished because he heard it 10 times, but Chumash, 5 times, says the word Avdecha Avinu.
Huh? Yaakov has to be punished because it told Yosef.
No, it's both things. Yosef was punished, the fact that he heard it. Why does Torah call Yaakov Avdecha? Because Yaakov had to be punished for that.
They cannot say, our father is alive, our father is your servant. Like, I would never say so.
Yeah, but they were speaking to the king, so that's the way you speak. Okay, so Vayisa Einav Pasachavtes. Vayisa Einav, Yosef picked up his eyes. Meaning, as the Mefarshim say, he focused on him. Obviously, he was talking to them, he was looking at them. When you talk to people, you're supposed to look at them. But Yosef now focused on Binyamin, and he said, in a very interesting expression, according to the Al-Sheikh, Vayaris Binyamin Achiv Ben Imei, he saw Binyamin, his brother, his mother's son, meaning a complete full brother, not a half brother, and he said, Hazeh Achicham Akotin Asher Amartem. Is this the little brother that you were talking about, Asher Amartem, that you were talking about? So the Abarbanel says, and the Al-Sheikh says, that when Yosef saw Binyamin, he saw his mother's features. Mm-hmm. He saw his mother's features. That's why it says, Ben Imai. We know who Binyamin is. Why does the Torah have to say Ben Imai? Because when Yosef saw Binyamin now, he saw the mother's features. So he says, and Ben Imai. And Yosef says to the brothers, is this the little kid you're talking about that you don't want to bring? It's a massive kid. At this time, Binyamin was a father of 10 kids. He was a father of 10 kids. He said he's a grown man. We'll soon see how old Binyamin was. It says here soon, the age of Binyamin.
Where did he have time to make 10 kids? It seems to me, the stories you've been telling, he's been in trouble, Binyamin.
Why?
Well, you know, Yosef wanted him, took him, this, that.
Coach, no TV then.
What?
No TV.
There's no Monday Night Football. There's nothing else to do.
Yosef was 22 years
old. Oh, that's how you have
children. Huh?
Yosef was no 22 Monday years old in Egypt, and now...
Well, I mean, I'll tell you how old Binyamin was. Yosef was 8 years older than Binyamin. At this time, Yosef was 39. So Binyamin was 31. He was 31 years old. So, as we'll soon see... okay, we'll soon get to it. Vayomer, so Yosef said, turning Binyamin, he looked at them, and he said, Alekim Yachnecha Bini, Hashem should be gracious to you, my son. Meaning, the Sipurna says, the fact that you are my complete brother, may you found grace in the eyes of the brothers, that they should treat you nicely. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, he says, as the other Mefarshim say, when he said, my son, he was again laughing at the brothers. It's like my little kid. The kid was the father, the boy was the father of 10 kids, and he says, Bini. But why did Yosef bless him now with the concept of chen, of grace? Because when Yaakov met Esav, and Esav asked Yaakov, who are all these people? So he says, Hayiladim, these are the kids, Asher Chanan Elokim Esavdecha, that God graced your servant. So all the children of Yaakov were blessed by Yaakov with the word Chain. Grace. Huh?
What does it mean
that? Chain. You know what Chain is?
Chem, chesed,
yeah, Chain. Somebody has Chain. Okay. So Binyamin wasn't born yet. So Binyamin was never blessed with chen. So that's why Yosef blessed him now, the Medrash says, and says, Alekim Yachnecha Bini, may Hashem give you chen. Because Binyamin was the only one of the Shvatim that wasn't blessed by Yaakov with the inyan of chen. Then the Medrash Zuta, Bereishis Zuta, it says another point. There's a story later on in Tanakh with Pelegish Begiva, with a concubine, the whole tribe of Binyamin did a bloody mess. And if it wouldn't have been for Yosef's bracha now, to Binyamin, that would have been completely destroyed. Oh. So it's, the whole Shevet Binyamin would have been destroyed because they did a terrible act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So because Yosef blessed them, so that's why Yosef blessed them for the future, that they shouldn't be destroyed.
It was a terrible act.
The whole story, the concubine, they ripped her apart and they sent about the parts of the body to all 12 tribes. It was a disgusting act. And it was a civil war amongst the Jewish people. Okay, so now, the Pasuk doesn't say the following discussion that took place between Yosef and Binyamin. But Rashi quotes the Medrash that before the next Pasuk, after Yosef blessed Binyamin with chen, with charm and grace, Yosef says the following story. Yosef says to Binyamin, do you have a maternal brother? That means you have another brother from the same mother. I had a brother, I don't know where he is. That was Binyamin's answer. So Yosef says, do you have any sons? So Binyamin said, 10. So Yosef said, what are their names? And he started telling the 10, he remembered the 10, he was a father, but he still knew the 10 names of his kids. You know, the birthdays, I don't know if he would have known, but the names he knew. So Yosef says, what's the significance of the names? You know, why did you call them these names? So he said, they all have some reference to my brother. I'm reading the English translation of Rashi. He says, Bela, because he was swallowed up among alien nations. Becher, because he was a firstborn. Ashbel, because God sent him to captivity. Geda, because he became a Ged. Naaman, because he was very pleasant. Achirashi was my brother and my superior. Mupim, because he learned from the mouth of my father. Chupim, because he didn't see my marriage, I didn't see his marriage. And Arad, because he was sent down amongst nations. So Binyamin basically told Yosef that all my kids are named for you. I mean, for you, basically. I mean, he didn't tell him for you, but for my brother, that I don't know what happened to him. When Yosef heard this,
He broke down
and he ran quickly out of the room and he cried. He ran into the inner room where nobody was, no admittance, you know, nobody allowed, and he ran and cried. Some of Farshim learned, like we said before, the reason why Yosef went out to cry was because he heard that Yitzchak died 10 years earlier, his grandfather died. He never heard it before and he had a chance to mourn now for a few minutes. That he mamash ran out of the room. So it says, Vayimahar Yosef hurried up to get to the room because he was overcome with emotion and it was hard to hold himself back. His compassion for his brother had been stirred, like we said, because of the names of the children. Vayivakish Lifkis, and he wanted to cry. Now, why did Yosef not tell his brother yet, it's me? Why didn't Yosef tell Binyamin already, okay, listen, I'm Yosef. He didn't finish the business yet. He had to put the silver goblet in Binyamin's bag yet. He said, I can't tell him who I am because then I can't do what I have to do. Yosef, and this is a whole procedure. The brothers, like we learned, there was a stage by stage kapara, forgiveness for the brothers. The final kapara was that they should be accused of being thieves. Up to now, Yosef never accused them of being thieves.
Spies,
but never thieves.
Yeah, yeah.
And even when he gave back the money, the brothers came back with the money. He didn't say you're a bunch of Ganovim thieves. He let it go. The brothers, because of their aveda of kidnapping Yosef, which is stealing, Yosef had an obligation to get the kapara going for stealing. So how do you get kapara? You have to put them again into the same predicament of stealing, accuse them of stealing, and hear their response. And because the response ended up to be positive, Yosef then was able to tell the brothers that he's Yosef.
Why didn't you just accuse him the first time?
Huh?
Why doesn't he just accuse
him? Because he had to wait for Binyamin to come. Everything went with stages here. It was mamish with stage by stage, by level. He had to see Binyamin. He had to understand and see, and that's what we're going to see in the next few psukim. Yosef had to see if the brothers were jealous of Binyamin. He had to see that they uproot the aveda of jealousy. So by bringing down Binyamin, bringing them to the meal, and we're going to learn, Yosef gave him 5 portions to their one. He did everything possible to arouse the jealousy of the brothers to see did they do tshuva or not. And when Yosef saw the brothers weren't jealous, so then Yosef knew that was forgiven. In the concept of tshuva, the Gemara says that the real level of tshuva, the Gemara's expression is the same woman, the same place, and the same situation, and the person still doesn't sin. In other words, the ideal level of tshuva, when do you see that a person really does tshuva? When the same opportunity comes up to sin, the same scenario comes up, and they still don't sin. Then you know that the person really did tshuva. For instance, in Halacha it says, a butcher that was caught selling treif for meat. So you have to oust him from being a butcher. You can't trust him anymore. How do you know that the guy did tshuva, that you can bring him back? If he goes to a place that nobody knew him, and he gives back extra things, in other words, he's very free to return things to people, so then you understand that he did tshuva. So Yosef over here with the brothers, especially because it was before Matan Torah, where you don't have the level of tshuva, the advantage of tshuva that we have today, so Yosef had to put the brothers step by step into all the scenarios of all the sins they did to see if they're going to do tshuva. So they were jealous. He had to see if they were still jealous. They stole, kidnapped, so Yosef had to put them in a situation of stealing. He had to make them crazy to see if their tshuva is real. Once Yosef saw the tshuva was real, then he said, mission accomplished. I'm Yosef. This is the situation. You're welcome to come and I'll treat you like royalty. But everything had to be done. So he couldn't tell him yet that I'm Yosef. He couldn't even tell Binyamin privately I'm Yosef. Because he had to get this thing back with Binyamin, with the goblet. Okay, so what happened? Vayava Achadra, he came into the room. Vayev Shom, and he cried there. What do you mean he cried there? He cried in a way that they couldn't hear him. Why did he cry? At the grief of his father. According to the Medrash, we said before, he cried because Yitzchak died. Okay, it's interesting. They bring down it's called Sechel Tov. He says the expression "tears extinguish the coals of the heart." That means Yosef became so compassionate by crying, he calmed down. In other words, like we learned many times, crying doesn't really do anything. God forbid your house burns down and you're crying, it's not going to come back. If somebody passes away and you cry, the person's not going to come back. Crying, though, eases the coals of the passion of the person. It calms them down that they feel better, even though nothing changed.
Or worse.
No, you know that when, even human nature, we know when people cry, they feel better, even though nothing changed. Nothing really changed. So Yosef had to cry to let go a little bit, that he should be able to deal again with the brothers. And he washed his face to wash away the tears and to wash away the fact that he was crying. And the Mefarshim explain, before in Perek Membeis, Pasuk of Dalid, when the brothers were confessing their guilt, it says over there, Yosef also ran away and cried. But it doesn't say over there that he washed his face. So the Mefarshim ask, why over there didn't he wash his face and over here he did? So the simple answer, the answer is because before Yosef wasn't going to sit down at a table and eat with them. Here he was mamish spending quality private time with them, and they would notice right away if he was crying or not. Before it was more official business. But it could also be, and this I don't know why the Mefarshim don't say, because it's a very logical answer. This crying was much worse than before his crying. Before he cried, he heard the brothers confess, but now he saw his brother. You know, it's a much more emotional level of crying that needs to be washed. So therefore, over here, Yosef washed. Vayisapak, he held himself back, he strengthened himself, and he said, Simu lechem, bring bread. Now, meaning, set the table. The bread is meaning get the meal going. Like you said, the bread is the essence of the meal. So now, the Pasuk is saying as follows. Yosef couldn't eat with the brothers, and the brothers couldn't eat with the Egyptians. Why? Yosef couldn't eat with the brothers. Number one, he was royalty. Royalty doesn't eat with the common people. The Egyptians, as the Pasuk is going to say, couldn't eat with the Jews, because it was despicable for Egyptians to eat with Jews. Why? Because Jews ate meat, and the Egyptians didn't. Because they worshipped the sheep, the lamb. So they couldn't eat meat. Huh? Some of Farshim learn, it's interesting, some of Farshim learn that they weren't vegetarians, they just didn't eat lamb. But other meats they did eat.
Cool.
Whatever.
Horses.
Camels.
Okay.
Yes.
The Torah says as follows. Let's see what the Chumash says.
Rabbi,
what?
The Jews were allowed to eat lamb while there were slaves in Egypt.
While they were slaves?
Yeah.
If they were able to get away? Probably not. But now they weren't slaves yet.
Before they were slaves.
They didn't become slaves yet.
Oh, this is before.
This is before. Now they're held in royalty. They became slaves after Yosef died, after all the brothers died. Now they were still in a level of machers.
Businessmen.
So it says in the Pasuk like this, Yisim le'lev levade v'lehem levadim. They gave bread for him alone, for them alone. And for the Egyptians, also separate. Why? Because the Egyptians were not able to eat together with the Jews. Why? Because the Egyptians is despicable for the Egyptians.
Why Egyptians have to eat with them?
He had his servants there.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Mefarshim explain that even though the whole Jewish nation, Ivrim are the Jews, yeah? The whole Jewish nation was only 70 people. Right? The whole nation, Sachakol, coming down to Egypt was 70 people. Yet they were so prominent, they had a name of a nation. Ivrim. It was mamish, a whole nation composed only of 70 people. Number one. Now, some of Farshim learn, why couldn't the Egyptians eat with the Jews? They were like today's French. Any national group that wasn't that were foreigners, the Egyptians hated.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Because they thought themselves to be better than everybody else, so they didn't want to eat. I said, like the French today. Now, Yosef obviously couldn't eat, because number one, he didn't want to. He said the fact that Yosef didn't dine with the Egyptians, and here's an interesting thing, the Mefarshim say, why didn't Yosef at least eat with the Egyptians? Because he kept kosher. And therefore he couldn't eat with them. How could he eat with the goyim at the same tray for meal? So Yosef kept separate food, so he had to eat alone. The brothers couldn't eat with the Egyptians, and the Egyptians couldn't eat with the brothers. Everybody.
You can give all the goyim the kosher meat too. What's the problem?
Huh? Why waste it on them? Okay. He says other unfortunately because he was royalty. If he was royalty, he couldn't eat with everybody else's bread.
Wait,
what?
I have a question. Why Yosef was the king, like the second king of Egypt?
Right.
And meantime, the Egyptians couldn't allow themselves to eat with the Jews?
They didn't know he was a Jew.
Or no?
Well, they knew that he was not Ivri. They knew he was Jewish, but they didn't go around publicizing it.
I mean, how did Yosef keep Shabbat while being the vice president in the midst of all the non-Jews?
He slept.
First of all, why can't... As a king, it would be easier.
He didn't have
like
a minion
everyone
there
else.
To go to
show. He didn't have a minion, true.
He prayed and slept.
No, really, but he kept all the mitzvahs.
Friday night to Saturday night, where did you go?
Where did everybody go?
To the nightclub.
No?
I'm telling you.
The synagogue.
Yosef in the palace kept Shabbos. You know, I'll tell you a bigger secret. Esther in the palace of Ahasuerus kept all the mitzvahs. And that was worse, because her husband didn't even know she was Jewish. Right? And that's why the Medrash says by Esther, she had 7 servants. One for Sunday, one for Monday, one for Tuesday, one for, you know, why? Because she wanted, she was very smart, Esther. She said, I can't have a girl serving me Friday and Shabbos, and Friday she sees I'm working, and Saturday she sees I don't work, she'll be suspicious that I'm Jewish. So every day she had a different girl, so the girl that came on Saturday thought she never worked. The girls on Friday thought she probably works on Saturday too. So instead, the Saturday girl never saw her work, because every Saturday she was off. So she thought the queen probably never does anything anyway. But Esther even kept it in the house of Ahasuerus, who was an anti-Semite.
I don't believe that. I believe the housekeepers talk to each other.
They don't saw each other.
No, I don't.
They don't?
No. How do you like
they
it?
Have a lift again?
No one ever needed Yosef's assistance or anything during Shabbat?
No. And if they did, he told them he's busy.
How did he keep
he said, I'm watching the World Series. I don't know.
Look at
this.
How did Joseph always eat by himself? Did he always eat by himself, or did he?
The implication here in the pasuk is that he always ate himself. Because if not, why didn't he eat with the Egyptians? The pasuk should have said he ate with the Egyptians, and the Jews were kept separately because it was despicable for the Jews and the Egyptians to co-mingle. Why was it despicable for the Egyptians to eat with the Jews? So Unklis Targum Yenison explains, because the Jews would eat sheep and the Egyptians worshipped the sheep. Other people say that when they ate this meal, as the pasuk said before, Tveach Tevach V'Hochein, to shech the meat, so Yosef had Menashe shech the meat, for the brothers to be able to eat. So some of Farshim learn that they did eat meat, not all meat. They did eat beef and flesh of other animals, but not of the sheep. So they were able to eat. So the pasuk says as follows, V'Yeshev L'Fanav. And this is an interesting pasuk. The brothers sat before him. Habchar kivchar alsei, each one according to his age. Meaning, Yosef sat him down by age. And the way it works is like this. There's two opinions. One opinion simply is that the brothers just sat down by age. They sat down by age, they sat down. The brothers themselves chose where to sit. Open seating. Rashi quotes, that's not what Yosef did. Yosef took his silver goblet, the special black magic goblet, and he hit it, and he says, oh, okay, let's see, Reuven, you're the oldest, you sit here, Shimon, you sit here. He played games as if he's looking into his magic cup to be able to see who should sit where. When he came to Binyamin, he said, oh, I see you don't have a mother, I don't have a mother, we're going to sit together. Okay, so in other words, Yosef made it as if he is a magician, that he knows the magic and so on.
As he put Binyamin next to him.
No, he did. The Medrash says even more. He hit the goblet, and then he said, okay, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, you're from one mother, you sit here. Then the other brothers. The interesting thing, the Mefarshim ask, the funny thing was, none of the mothers were alive anyway. Not Leah, not Bilhah, not Zilpah. And Bilhah, according to one opinion, was alive. This is Machlekes. One opinion says only Bilhah was alive. So Lachayda, none of them had mothers. Leah also passed away already. But it says, even though that he knew, but officially he made himself like he didn't know. That the end result was Bilhah, according to that opinion.
Otherwise?
Huh?
Otherwise?
Yosef thought that they were still alive at this time.
But the mother is supposed to bow down to him, right?
Yeah, but she raised him. After his mother died, Bilhah raised him.
What does that mean? She passed away, say, really?
Then the moon is somebody else.
Who?
I don't know.
You know?
No.
Oh my God.
I wasn't there.
So they died young.
Yeah. Not only did they die young, Rashi says in Chumash that according to the opinion that there were twins born with each Shevet, all of them died before they went down to Egypt too, because the Torah doesn't count them.
I mean, the girl.
In the Chumash it says there were 70 people, Milvad Neshei B'nei Yaakov, except the women, the wives. Okay, the wives weren't counted. So Rashi says, according to the opinion that says twins, so Lochere, they're Yaakov's daughters also, why weren't they counted? So Rashi says, you must say that they all died before going down to Mitzrayim.
Maybe they don't count women.
No, Dina was counted.
Yocheva
was counted. So. Yeah, but Bila was counted. They were counted.
Dina
went to Egypt too.
Bilha was counted.
Yeah.
Huh?
How do we know that?
Where should she go?
I thought she was hidden somewhere. I don't know. After Salem.
No, Shimon married her. Shimon married her. Sure. Oh,
okay. But if Bilha was counted, this is she was alive.
That's what I said. The two opinions. No, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So. Yosef, why did Yosef do the shtick? Why did Yosef do the shtick with the goblet? Because Yosef wanted to make the stealing of the goblet much worse.
Yeah.
He wanted to say, look how great this goblet is, this is my magic, and you stole my magic. It wasn't Stam, they stole the, you know, they wanted to get a silver cup, so they took it in the basket. His mamish, he said, this is my magical cup. Okay, so what happens is, some Mefarshim learn that the brothers took their own seats and that's it. Okay. But Yismu Anoshim Ishoreo, and the men looked at each other in astonishment. Meaning, they were astonished. How did Yosef know how to sit them? They were shocked. How did this guy know? Because you have to understand, all the brothers, all 11 brothers were born in 7 years. Because they're different wives, right? So all the brothers, according to the Cheshbon, were born in 7 years. So big age difference there wasn't to say one was this age and that age. You can tell a big boy with a little baby. All the boys basically were adults. Yeah. Binyamin, the youngest, was 31. Okay, so with between 31 and 38, all the brothers... Or, no, older a little bit, but they were all born in the same, all the other brothers were born in the same time. So, they were shocked. Another thing, that's one opinion. According to the Chizkuni, the shock wasn't that Yosef knew how to seat him. The brothers were shocked that Yosef was eating with them. Not the concept of, that he sat them according to the order. The fact was, that he didn't dine he says differently. That the shocking was that Yosef didn't eat with them. That he kept everybody separate. Not even with the Egyptians.
How can be only 7 years difference? 7 years.
No, they were all born from Reuven until Yosef was 7 years.
As Binyamin was 7 years more.
Yeah.
That's 14.
Right. Now, another opinion says, what were the Egyptians shocked with? They were shocked with the fact that these people are getting special treatment. The Egyptians were shocked. One opinion says the brothers were shocked. One opinion says the Egyptians were shocked. And there's two opinions why the brothers were shocked. One is either he knew how to seat them, another thing the Medrash says, why were the brothers shocked? Thank you. The brothers were afraid of another point. If the brothers saw that Yosef is doing magic from this cup, maybe Yosef is going to see that the brothers sold their brother as a slave. They didn't know, because if this goblet tells magic,
yeah.
So maybe it's going to become revealed the fact that Yosef sold, the brother sold whoever this guy is.
Yeah, because he knew a lot about them.
He knew a lot about them.
And he told them.
And he offered this goblet.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us, and it's officially a magical goblet.
Exactly.
So they thought, oy vey, he's going to soon say that we did this terrible crime. Okay. So, but nobody commented was just a shock on their part. They didn't do anything else. So now the pasuk says as follows. And like we said, the Yosef had to test the brothers to see if they did the ultimate level of tshuva or not. He had portions set before them. He brought them portions. As they would send, Rabbi Avram, the son of the Rambam, writes, in the olden times, kings would send like shirayim from their own portions. He would send it to the people to eat. So this opinion says, Yosef sent his own food for them to eat.
How do they know it's kosher?
He probably sent them fruit that they could eat. Vatayrev Masis Binyamin, and he gave Binyamin's portion, Mimasis Kulam Chomesh Yodis. He gave them five times to Binyamin more than everybody else. Now, Mefarshim explained, it doesn't mean five times everybody's together. It means five times of each one's individual portion. Yeah, but why up is these guys out of everybody else in the whole country? Another thing that the brothers thought, that Yosef is trying to make up for the way he treated them cruelly at the beginning. First, Yosef was very cruel to the brothers. So the brothers thought maybe he's trying to make it up to us now to be good. Okay, the real reason, though, the Mefarshim say, why did he give Binyamin five times the amount? Because to see if the brothers are going to get jealous or not. That's what Yosef wanted to see. And then the pasuk says, Vayishtu Vayishkru Imai, they drunk, and they became drunk with him. And Rashi says that for the last 22 years, Yosef never drank, and they never drank. Now, why did the brothers get drunk? They thought, or why they allowed themselves to get drunk, because the brothers thought that Yosef wants to get the truth out of them, if they're spies. This is what the brothers thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to see if we're spies, or you know, any of these things. So he wants to get us drunk, that we'll loosen up and tell him the truth. So the brothers said, the truth is we have nothing to hide. Let's get drunk, and when we speak, he'll see that we're speaking the truth, because we have nothing to hide. So that's the reason why the brothers drank.
In vino veritas. In vino veritas.
Right. Now, the question is, the Mefarshim ask, Yosef drank, we can understand why. Yosef was now besimcha. He became reunited with all 12 brothers were united now. So Yosef drank because he was taka fabrengen, you know. The question is, why are the brothers drinking though? Because they, so the one answer is what we just said, because they wanted to see that in case they're spies, so they drank to become intoxicated. And because the brother said, if we don't drink, Yosef is going to accuse us of wanting to hide something from him. So therefore, the brother had no choice but to get drunk.
Who is the author of that thought? Which brother?
Which brother?
Yeah, the last thought you made.
Not the brother. The commentators of Chumash.
Oh.
You don't like it? You don't like it?
Now, another question is, how did they drink treif for wine? How did they drink yayin esach that a guy touched? It was mavosh. The answer is that there's two types of wine. There's a goyish wine, which is biblically forbidden, and there's a rabbinic prohibition. For instance, yayin nesach means wine that was actually poured for idols. Wine which is poured for idol worshipping becomes completely treif, forbidden biblically to drink or to benefit from. That is the biblical prohibition of yayin nesach. The Chachamim instituted another takanim, because because when you drink wine with somebody, it brings a closeness. And the Chachamim didn't want a relationship between Jews and Goyim through drinking wine. So the Chachamim forbid wine which is touched by a goy. But that's a rabbinic prohibition. Meaning, if the wine is poured for aveda zara, then it's biblically forbidden. And that the brothers wouldn't be allowed to drink if they kept Torah. But this wine wasn't wine that Yosef poured for idol worshipping. It was wine stam that a goy touched. So it was only rabbinic, and the rabbinic prohibitions is not necessarily that the Shvatim kept. It's even questionable in Halacha if they have even kept the biblical prohibitions. But the rabbinic prohibitions, for sure they didn't keep. Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, it said, kept even rabbinic laws. But the Shvatim didn't, and therefore the Mefarshim explained they were able to drink with them.
How did they know the rabbinic laws?
They learned Torah. They knew everything. If you'd say Chitas, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe is saying in the last few days that the rabbinic mitzvahs are offshoots of the biblical mitzvahs. So by understanding properly the biblical mitzvahs, they automatically derive the rabbinic mitzvahs. So it says that they understood already even the rabbinic mitzvahs of nature, of the nature of the rabbinic mitzvahs, even from the biblical mitzvahs.
When did we get our biblical mitzvahs?
When?
Yeah.
At Har Sinai.
So it's what? 1,000? What's the time difference?
And now?
400
years.
After this?
No, not 400 years. 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak. 210 years.
So
211 to be exact.
210 years before it even happened?
Avram kept the whole Torah before it was given. Yitzchak kept Torah. Yaakov kept Torah. There are certain aspects in Torah that the Ovis knew about, that the Ovis knew. Like it says, Eikav Hashasham Avram Bekeli, not in Chayisan, the next week told this, it says, Eikav Hashasham Avram Bekeli, because he listened to my voice, V'yishma Mishmarti Chukaisei V'seiroisei, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, according to most opinions, even though last week at the Chumash class we discussed the various opinions, but according to most opinions, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov kept the entire Torah before it was given. Noach learned Torah, and therefore when God said to him, bring the kosher animals 7-7 and the treif animals too, he knew which was kosher, which was treif. Because they learned Torah. The mitzvahs they had, but in a completely different level. It was a spiritual level rather than a physical level. They didn't elevate the physical world, but the negative commandments, they had an obligation, the others kept.
Now, if they were ordered, no matter what, by the king, which means Joseph at the time, to eat treif meat and to drink the wine, could they have refused? By fear of being...
They were not obligated to keep it under fear of death.
That's what I'm saying. So, let's say, maybe they didn't even... Because we don't know if the meat even was kosher.
No, they slaughtered.
They sat and slaughtered, and the blood, and they came in.
I'll explain to you something. One second. I'll answer your question. Yeah. There's one more reason over here, by the way, why Yosef wanted to. Why did Yosef want to get the brothers drunk? He knew they weren't spies. Why did Yosef want to get the brothers drunk?
Because they wanted them to.
No, he didn't want them to look in the sacks or the goblet. Push it. He wanted. He's a very practical guy. Let me get him drunk. They're going to be too drunk to look in the sack when I put the goblet in, and they won't bother me. Now, your question is a question that the Rebbe discussed, not about this particular issue, but we learned it a long time ago in the past. According to Torah law, you're not allowed to marry two sisters. Correct? As long as one is alive. Meaning, according to Torah law, if somebody is married, let's say there's two sisters, Rachel and Leah, which was in Yaakov's cave. If Yaakov married Rachel, even if he divorced Rachel, he cannot marry Leah as long as Rachel is alive. That's a clear pasuk in Chumash. Okay, which you read, Yom Kippur at Mincha. Now, a man is not allowed to marry two sisters. Correct? How did Yaakov marry two sisters? If he kept the whole Torah, how did he marry two sisters? Some commentaries answer that Yaakov kept the whole Torah only in Eretz Yisrael. And that's where when he came back, Rachel died because he couldn't marry two sisters in Israel, be married to two sisters. Leah was married first. So if one of them had to go, Rachel died before he came back to Eretz Yisrael. That's one answer. But Rashi doesn't hold of that because Rashi says, Im lovan garti, like with Lavan, I lived, Garti is Tariag. I kept the mitzvahs even in Lavan's house. So the Rebbe asks, how is it possible that Yaakov, in Pshat, according to Rashi, simple meaning, how is it possible Yaakov married two sisters? If Rashi says, 1 minute, if Rashi says that he kept the whole Torah, and in Chumash it says he can't marry two sisters, how did Yaakov marry two sisters? So the Rebbe explains, and there's a very interesting lesson, Bechlal, for people. Huh?
Because of Lavan?
The Rebbe says that keeping mitzvahs for the patriarchs was a strictness, not a mandatory thing. Mm-hmm. But you can only do the strictness if it didn't contradict a mandatory law that they had to do. Mm-hmm. You can't be strict at the expense of something that you have to do.
It's a chumrah.
It's a chumrah. Because they weren't commanded. So they had a chumrah, a strictness to keep Torah. But if that chumrah of Torah would take away from something they had to do, then they weren't allowed to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, common sense says, if you make a promise, you have to keep it. That's simple halacha, so to speak. It's not Kabbalah, it's not a chumrah. You make a promise, you have to keep it. Yaakov promised Rachel, I'm marrying you. He promised her, I'm going to marry you. Now Lavan messed him up and gave him Leah. So now Yaakov is faced with a dilemma. Okay? Torah says, I can't marry Rachel now. Because I married Leah, mm-hmm. and I can't marry two sisters. But I promised Rachel I'm going to marry her. So my promise is mandatory to keep. Torah is optional to keep for them. Because it was a chumrah. So Yaakov said, if it's a question of optional or mandatory, I have to do the mandatory, even though it's going to upset the strictness of the chumrah of not keeping Torah.
And loving her didn't matter.
What?
Loving her didn't matter.
Yeah, but if you can't marry... Listen, if somebody is married to somebody... Excuse, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. According to halacha, and it's not easy. I'm telling you for a fact, it's not easy. If somebody is married to somebody they love, but they're not allowed to be married to them. For instance, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, they weren't from, they didn't know of anything, Kohen marries a divorcee, right? And then later they become from, and they realize that they're not allowed to stay married, because a Kohen can't stay married to a divorcee. They love each other very, very much, but you know what? Halacha says, we're sorry, you have to divorce. It's not easy. I'm not saying, God forbid, it's easy. If they have a rotten marriage, it's easy. If you have a good marriage, it's a very difficult thing for a person to do. But if that's what Torah says to do, you got to do it.
Does he renounce Kohanut?
You can't renounce Kohanut.
Rabbi, I don't want to be Kohen anymore. Like, his children
won't be Kohen. No, it doesn't work like that.